Exodus, we're still talking about redemption with regard to the Passover. I'm just going to read a couple of verses. We'll get more detail later, but it's talking about eating the Passover. It says, "You shall eat; they shall eat of the flesh, and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire his head with his legs and the pertinences thereof, and you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Down verse 5, or start verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us from above or from the first estate unto an alive hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept or garrisoned by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching water what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them, that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now because of all that, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." And remember in Exodus it says, "Thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet." So now the girding up is no longer of physicality, it's you're girding up the loins of your mind for this incredible trip. What does that mean, to gird? To gird up.
Protect the tender parts.
Well, no. No, that's not what it means. It means to have everything about you ready to leave. You're fully prepared to leave at this instant. Now, question is, this is the girding up the loins of your mind. Will you be found of him, in him, without spot and blameless? Or will a garment be spotted by the flesh because of association and alliances with the world system? So now we gird, for this Passover, we don't gird up our clothes and get ready. We gird up the loins of our mind. So there's nothing. There's no part of the garment, which is the righteousness only of Christ, that you have on. spotted by the flesh. Amen? What? You're thinking again.
Thinking about redemption.
That's what this is.
That's what I'm thinking about.
This is what redemption means.
I was thinking all weekend there was nothing but redemption going on. You know, if you found a coin, you were redeemed. Painted a good picture, you were redeemed. If you did this, you're redeemed. It's just it's like everything in our life is we're constantly redeeming ourselves with our little successes. And you know, you never realize how much it's going on until you start studying, and then your daily activities are filled with redemptive acts, trying to gain your own righteousness.
Amen. All right, so let's continue reading in Peter. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Sober doesn't mean you're not drunk. Sober means you're thinking correctly. You're seeing correctly. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. All manner, your conversation, remember, is how you conduct your life. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy. For I am holy. Now we have holy as an emotional word. And it's always it always is accompanied by images of whatever you were brought up to believe was holy. But you've got to remember that holy, hagios, where we get the word saints, where we get the word holy, a lot of other words. But it just means that you contain what you're supposed to contain. I use the salt shaker all the time, but if the salt shaker is holy because it has only salt in it and it was made to be a salt shaker. If there's one drop, one speck of pepper in it, it is unholy. So you are holy. If you as a vessel have emptied yourself to contain only him, then you by definition are holy. It has nothing to do with what the appearance, what it looks like. It has to do with a total and complete repentance. So that he alone lives, your life alone is Christ alone. He becomes your only self. Not in a king's kid manner, but as a servant with nothing to protect you but obedience. No, there isn't anything bigger than this. You have no cares of the world. There's no weight. There's no labor, no toil.
I have a question. You said a while ago, and you just read it, but be found in him.
Be found of him.
Of him, without spot or blemish. Seems like an oxymoron. So you can't be of him with spots and wrinkles.
It's talking about being found of God. You're found of God with only him.
Yeah.
Now how do you get spots and wrinkles?
Self-seeking.
By association with the world system.
At that point, you're separated. That works.
But that's what it means. I don't remember where I read that. But anyway. as it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Verse 17 now. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judges according to every man's work, past the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, silver and gold from your vain or empty manner of life, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now this thing, received by tradition from your fathers, just think, I mean, that's all you are. That's all we are. It's stuff that we have received by tradition. How you dress, what you think about, what everything. It's what, it's these things you receive. That's why it all has to be emptied. It has to be seen as vain, as empty, as fruitless. That's why I believe that we are in the most acute form of apostasy that the world has ever seen, or that the church has ever seen. By definition, apostasy can't exist where there are no, it means a falling from something. So you've fallen away from true faith and just have it in name only. To be them on Judgment Day. I'd hate to be me on Judgment Day.
Yeah.
We're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born from above, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of the grass, or flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. Verse 25, the word there is rhema. That's the word made flesh. And then the next one, and this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. That word is logos. The logos is preached unto you, but it must be mixed with you so that the word becomes flesh in you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envyings and evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now let's go back to, well, we're just going to talk about redemption and what it means. Remember, all of the plagues, which essentially were, it's like God called down a napalm attack on his own people. But it wasn't to punish. I've heard so many times that the plagues came because they wanted to punish Egypt for messing with the Jewish people. The plagues came to destroy the idolatry of Egypt that his people had accepted as theirs. According, that's what it says. And so, effectively, the plagues were calling down a napalm attack on his own people. Except the blood protected them. But it didn't. Two things happened. One is when the priest, which was the father, put the blood on the doorpost, then by association, by metaphor, if you will, that everyone in that house was dead, and that's why the angel of the Lord passed by them. And even more so, all had to kill the Passover. Now, by killing the Passover, they laid hands on the Passover, and that signified again by laying out of hands that they had the same fate as the killing of the lamb. And then this mysterious thing happens. In eating of the lamb, what happens? The lamb then, by the way the body digests, the lamb becomes part of you. And that in truth is the way the word is made flesh in you. And so the idea of, you know, the idea of you are what you eat has some important mysteries here. But again, it all then was about the new creation, the Lamb in you. Your death signified by the blood on the doorpost. That's what caused them to pass over, the death angel. But the death angel was God himself. And so redemption is making that which is dead alive with a new creation. And it doesn't matter where in the Bible it talks about redemption. All efforts to redeem are only redemption of you. That means an approved you somehow. That can't happen. His own seed. We were born from above, not by the corruptible seed or sperma of man or of Adam. Now we are born by the seed incorruptible. The same seed that impregnated Mary, but now it's the same, but it's fully tested as the way, and there's an inertial guidance system that all you have to do is abandon self. And that inertial guidance system, which is 1,000 times more accurate than anything that is made by you know the army system, or even the space program system, it's a sure bet. It's without doubt that you can't get off the track unless you start to take control. That's what it means. You were born of an incorruptible seed, a seed that existed from the first estate, from the very beginning. And that seed, even that seed, when it enters that mother of us all, the New Jerusalem, is swallowed up, so that it's a new creation, the bride. And Christ's first miracle that defined him and defined what he was doing, he was at a wedding and he changed the water into wine. And wine is is always the metaphor for the bride. And that's all that's happening in you. The dust is a container, and the seed is the mystery. And slowly but surely, it becomes this new creation. And the only thing that can happen is if you get in the way. Then it goes, the inertial guidance system goes off course. What? The thing that I don't want to spend the eternity on redemption here, but you've got to understand, we have to understand that redemption isn't making us different. We are unsavable. Redemption is putting new life that didn't exist before into you. From death. Now let's go to Romans 8 a minute.
Romans 8?
Yeah. No, excuse me, Romans 7. Just one verse, verse 24. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Deliver, redeem. No one delivered you. That's why, again, look at the next verse. So I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Now what mind are we serving the law of God with? Only the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is the mind abandoned. Remember this? Who shall deliver me? This was a direct reference to the unique, terrible form of punishment in the Roman Empire. They chained a dead body to you face to face. And as that body corrupted and rotted, so the maggots would enter you. There's nothing that there's no death that I can imagine that's more hideous. That's what Paul, when seeing the perfection of his holiness, that's how he saw himself and his own mind. Now, can you see that? Or do you still think there's something good? Don't kind of worry about self-redemption anymore.
Yeah. There was a saying he used to say about, somehow I think it fits in here, about something that's written and the one who writes, it was out of Melito of Sardi.
Bless the one that wrote this, bless us, the ones that.
It's different, it's the one, if you read it, you get the glory of having read it, and the one, I don't know.
We'll let you get it whenever you need it.
Yeah, I'll have to refine that.
All right. We'll study that, Exodus 12, the actual redemption tomorrow. That's enough for today. Anybody have anything else? So everybody understands perfectly.
I have, I know there's a lot more to come here, but the things that I've seen and been through this weekend and observed the demonstration of redemption and everything that happens, I'm being redeemed because I'm talking right now in my flesh. You know, it's like you don't get away from seeking redemption. And I'm looking at that in light of this. One is like a parable, the other is true. And you understand more of this by understanding that that's all you're about, is trying to redeem yourself. Next step, glory. You know?
Well, remember the molten images are images that your mind can't control. They're because they're emotions.
Right.
And these, the hard metals that were used as a parable in the scriptures, for which they actually physically made these idols of silver and gold and brass. Because that's the only way we could see what those same idols are within us. And so it depends. Everybody is in the same boat. In that if it's an idol of gold, a molten image of gold, then it's what you consider glory, what you consider the way, the best thing, whatever that best thing is. Then because of guilt, what you do is you have the redemption of silver. Silver redeems. And so everything you talked about, everything we've talked about before, about self-redemption. And then the last one, that these all work together. I mean,
yeah.
The last one is the brass, and that's judgment. And by definition, if you are redeeming self, and with all these special purposes, I knew I was a special when I was a kid, you know, some crap like that. Then with those, with silver and gold, automatically comes brass. You'll automatically judge others. You can't help it. And so that's why when we read Hezekiah and Josiah's Passover, they went through and destroyed all of those. And even when remember when the golden calf, what'd they do with it? They beat it and they burned it until it was powder, until gold dust, and then they made them drink it. So they'd go off the draught. So you'd see it's just nothing. And they made the golden image to the God that brought them out of Egypt. They didn't invent a new God. But what it was a reference to, remember, that's another story, but I don't want to go there. We could spend all night there, all day.
Gotta stop sometime.
Huh?
Gotta stop sometime.
All right. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.